ready to talk. And we are just delighted to have Louise Rogers with us this week for a very special single seminar on something we all need, which is how to lead prayer for a group. So I'll turn it over to Louise.
Well, good morning. And I want to say that I am so pleased to be able to come and to introduce this topic and to talk with you about how to lead prayer for a group. Because I have found that oftentimes those of us who are involved in the church or working in the church, or even coming alongside of others, may find ourselves in a position where we want to pray with someone else. And we might think, oh, I want to offer a prayer. How do I do that? And what I want to do today is to just really help us to feel a little bit of structure around that, or to really help you to have some tools that if you need to pray, that you might have some guidance for doing so. Before we started today, we were talking about just some experiences people have had around this. And someone said that they were involved with the church where they would come into a meeting and the pastor in this church would just say, I'm not going to lead the prayer, and would just pick someone else to lead the prayer. I think that can be very intimidating to have to lead the prayer with no prior idea that you're going to lead that, to have to pray in front of others. Sometimes people are intimidated to pray in front of clergy, although I will be the first one to say they really should not be. And so my hope today is just to give some very gentle direction, some guidance, some support for that. So if you do want to pray with someone, if you do find yourself in that situation, you will feel like I have some support for that. And I'm going to go through some slides with us today. And then my hope is that collectively we will be able to compose a prayer using some very simple steps that will give us some a prayer. And that you will be able to see how this design of a prayer is found throughout scripture, is something that you will hear echoed in our worship services, and that possibly this will be something then that you would be comfortable using when you are called upon to lead prayer in different settings. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask throughout. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Here we go. So I wanted to begin by asking about, I am really getting ahead of myself here. How is leading a group to pray different from personal prayer? And I wanted to propose this to you because I would say that when you come to church, you would see various prayers being lifted up to the group. And the first thing I'd like to say is that I think that praying for a group, leading a group in prayer, is a great honor, because we are inviting people into a time of prayer. You will find different opportunities that we have to pray. We have a set time for prayer in our church for both confession. We have then the pastoral prayer. And these are, as I said, set times in our services for prayer. When we come to pray during those times, those are not times when oftentimes I would be leading those prayers. That's not really a time for me to stand up before the congregation and to say, well, this morning I was talking to my daughter and we were talking about this problem that she was having and I want the congregation to pray for that. That's not a real time for the leader to speak about personal things in my life in that particular setting. Leading a group in prayer is a time for us to lead and to guide them in a time of prayer, whether it is a unison prayer that we are all speaking together, or if it is a time of prayer where I am saying words, but the words are to be designed so that people can be stepping into a time of prayer so that they will be led into a prayerful presence. And in that prayerful presence, they can follow along in the words that I am invoking, or they can move into their own prayer. That is the guidance that I would hope would come from my prayer. And as I said, it is a great honor to be able to lead the congregation. One of the most beautiful times in prayer, when I am in front and I ask for a time of silence and we lift up our private prayers to God and ask God to receive them, there's a time of quiet, and then it goes quiet, and then it becomes increasingly quiet as people pray silently before God. And that is truly a spirit-filled moment, collectively. When we asked people, there was a study that was recently done about people coming back to worship. And it said, what do you miss about worship? And one of the items that was listed is that people really missed having an opportunity to come together for prayer. And I completely understand that. Now, when we have to stand in front, or when we have to stand before a group and we have to pray, you might notice that it always seems like, oh, the minister knows what to pray. And I want to propose to you today a way to build a prayer that is built on a very simple structure, if you will. And it is built on these five steps that comes out of a book called Let the Whole Church Say Amen. And this is a book called Lawrence Stokey. And it's, as I said, building a way to pray. This might seem a little overwhelming at first, but I promise you that as we walk through this, that you will find that it's found in scripture. And you're going to see that we are actually doing this. And with a little bit of practice with this, you may find that this is something that can be very useful to you. So let me walk through this with you. When you are looking to pray before a group, you would want to build your prayer with these five steps that I have before us here. This comes out of his text, Let the Whole Church Say Amen. So we build a prayer by addressing God, and we address God, and then we not only address God by name. So you can see these pictures help us to know what we're referencing here. So we would address God, and then we have an attribution to God. So in this case, we might say, Holy God, you are the creator of all things. And then we would have a petition. Why are you praying to God this day? What is it that we want? In this case, because we're praying, our exercise here is to help us pray before a group, we might simply say, God, be with us as we gather together for this meeting so that we can lead your people in obedience for this particular ministry. And we pray in the name of Jesus. So these are the five steps that he would have us go. Now, I know that whenever I have been given any type of framework for prayer, that can seem very restrictive. It can seem very difficult Because prayer is also simply talking to God. And there is always an opportunity that we have to talk to God in a way that is coming from our hearts, that is flowing from us. But remember, this is a context of leading a group in prayer and helping us to bring that prayer in a way that will be meaningful to that group and giving us some tools when we are called upon to have to open a prayer, open a meeting perhaps, or sit down next to someone and pray with them. So these are the steps that we're going to look at going forward. These are some biblical examples that follow this loose guideline that we're given. So if we look at the Romans example, may the God of steadfastness, so this is the address and then the attribution, and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. And then it says, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This example that we have from Romans captures for us the five steps that we have been talking about. And the same with 2 Corinthians. And see if we can just kind of loosely find that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation. So that whole part is really the beginning when we address and we give the attribution. We describe something about God. It doesn't have to be that elaborate at all. And then we ask for our petition and our purpose so that we would be able to console those who are afflicted with the consolation in which we ourselves are consoled by God. So let's look at this in a little bit more detail so that we can understand it, so it does not have to be something that is intimidating or daunting for us. So first of all is the name or title for God. And if you are bold, perhaps you could think of unmuting yourself and think of a name or a title for God. Certainly I can I'll run through these examples and you can think of others, ways that you could address God in a prayer. These are easy examples. Our Father, dear God, Holy One, Precious Lord. Any way that we would like to address God is appropriate in a way for us to begin our prayers. Can anyone think of a way that they would be addressing God?
Sometimes I use Abba.
Abba. Very nice, which is a word that is somewhat similar with father, daddy.
Mm-hmm. Almighty God.
Almighty God. And these can be, again, this is just a way that we address God. We just start our prayer with a way of invoking God, of addressing God at the beginning of our prayer. Thank you. And then this part of the attribution is something that comes to mind that directs us to what has God done? What has God done? What is on our hearts as we come to that title, and what do we think of God? So some examples here. God, you have loved the world so much, you sent us your son. God, without you, we cannot exist. God, oops, I have a typo here. God, you are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. Earlier, I had said, God, you are the one who has created all things. The idea of this is not to be rigid in our design, but rather to allow us to be flowing in the spirit as we address God, and then as we ponder what the attribution of God would be in that moment, at that time, where we feel led in that prayer. And then we come to the next step, and this is the petition. And this is what we are asking God. God, pour out your spirit so we may think and do what is right. Remember, God, the grace you have given to us and not what we deserve. God, enable us to believe with true faith. God, give us this day our daily bread. And this petition is what you would like from God that day. God, bring comfort to this person that I am with this day. It does not have to be said with elaborate words. It does not have to be in a complete sentence. This is really what we are asking for God's presence to move, how we want God's presence to move now in this time of prayer. And then from this, we almost have a time of our purpose so that we can have the strength to live according to your will, so that we may be confident of the glory revealed. We may have our purpose to be much closer to what we're doing now, so that, Lord, we may find healing in this particular person's life, so that we may discern your purpose in our decision-making tonight in our meeting. And it can be a much narrower ask for our purpose. And then we will close through Jesus Christ our Lord, or in the name of Jesus, or we will say some type of recognition that we are praying, not on our own accord, but we pray this in the name and in the power of Jesus, in the name and the power of God who is with us. So now that we have walked through this, you're probably thinking, oh, wow, that seems very complicated. That seems like a lot of steps that we're going to go through. So let's think about this a little bit. There is one key thought before we get into the steps that we pray. And the key thought is, why are we offering this prayer? If you are coming to a time of prayer, why are you praying? And before we offer any prayer, that is really important. This past Friday, I was with a group of people, and I offered a prayer for a small group who was gathered. And my reason for that prayer was so that we would have a time of discernment for one person who was there. And before I started to say anything, I paused and thought, what is the reason for this prayer? And so before you begin any prayer, that is my one key step that I think we need to always think, why are we praying? It also helps us and guides us This is something else we talked about, that sometimes if we don't know our key thought, we have a tendency to just start praying, and we can get caught where we add on phrases to our prayers, and we can get, there can be a tendency for prayers to get aimless, which in our own personal prayers, we can pray, and God loves to hear our prayers, and they can be broad and they can be free flowing, and that is lovely. If we're in front of a group or in front of a congregation, and if they are broad and free flowing, we may have a time constraint. And so we want to have the prayer rather directed and perhaps thought through. We could also write the prayer out before. And that's a recommendation that I do have before we get up in front, so that we're clear that we are leading people, that we're guiding them, even as we're invoking the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that always is with us, guiding us, with us always when we are praying. So these are the steps. We address God, we have an attribution with God. We say, God, what is it we would like that we're asking, we're seeking from God? We have a so that for ourselves, and we close. These also are, as the author would say, these are rather succinct prayers. These are not lengthy prayers, you will find. Of course, other elements can be added into this prayer. Thankfulness can be added. Confessions can be added. But for our purposes today, these are this is a guide that we are just beginning to follow. The other night when I sat down for grace, I thought, I'm just going to offer a blessing at the dinner table for my husband and I. And I'm just going to follow this. I was preparing for this seminar, and I wanted to make sure that I was using this. And I just sat down and I went through this. And I found that once you think about this, it flowed quite easily. And it was a meaningful prayer. So I promise you, this is something that can make your prayer life enriched. Okay. So I thought the best way for us to work through a prayer would be for us to try to come up with a prayer together. And so I would encourage us now that we could work together to develop a prayer using these steps. And I thought we could develop this prayer if we were praying before a group of people who were having a dinner. If you were at a, let's say, a church dinner, and if someone came and tapped you on the shoulder and said, could you say the blessing before the dinner? You would say, okay. And we would use this kind of a format just to see how would this seem for us. And I'd like us now collectively to think of, could we possibly do something like this? I understand we typically don't do something like this on Zoom, but I thought maybe today we could try it. So I'm going to hit the escape so that it will, my screen will be a little different so that we can write, so that I can write in here. So for addressing, what is a title for God, a name for God that we could use for a grace, before blessing, before a church meal?
Heavenly Father.
Okay. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. And now if we come down, we have Heavenly Father, keeping in mind we are offering a grace before the meal. What could be a attribute about God that we might want to mention?
We know all things come from you, including the food we are about to partake.
Okay. What would we be asking God? What could be a petition? What would we be asking God? Heavenly Father, we know all things come from you, including the food we are about to partake.
Louise, I'm having trouble distinguishing between petition and purpose. Is petition what you want from God and purpose the reason you're asking? Or?
Yes, right. So a petition might be strengthen our bodies. Strengthen our bodies would be strengthen our bodies could be a petition. Through this meal. We give thanks for this food that would be a petition. Strengthen our bodies through this food.
Or something like, may we be truly thankful for all of the hands that brought this food to our table.
Yes, that would be a good petition. How about we use that one? Hope I get what you had given to me. Truly thankful for the hands. Maybe be truly thankful for the hands that brought the food to the table. With purpose, it's almost as if you start with so that. So that.
I'm thinking we also might want to give thanks to God, not only the thanks that was mentioned in the petition, but somehow give thanks to him. I'm not sure where that fits in.
We could say so that we live with gratitude.
Okay, but how would we thank God directly?
So that we
it maybe doesn't fit under this heading.
Okay. We could also put that in the close as well.
Okay.
We could also do that.
So that we will be nourished by the food and the fellowship.
So we will be nourished by the food and the fellowship. So let's look at our prayer. Heavenly Father, we know all things come from you, including the food we are about to partake. May we be truly thankful for the hands that brought the food to our table. I think there should be a half brought, right? That have brought the food to the table so that we will be nourished by the food and the fellowship. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Any comments on the prayer?
I think it's perfect.
Does this seem hard?
No.
It's very helpful.
Is it helpful?
Yeah.
Now, I will say, the first few times that I worked with this, I thought, oh boy. One, it's just like everything in life. The first few times you work with it, it takes some, you have to work with it a bit to get comfortable with it.
Can we take this to another level? I'm reading a book by Ely Wellison about, it's called Night, and it's about his experience in the concentration camps, and he's Jewish. And I was thinking, just as these 85 people are in this boxcar and they're about to get out and go to Auschwitz, and before the doors open, and I'm the only Christian there, and these people have a very rich tradition, Kaddish and all the prayers that they say, and somehow they turn to me and ask me, could you pray for us or with us? And I can't talk about Jesus the way that I would and with the Christians. I'd wanted to come from my heart in a heart that I have, which is similar to everybody's heart. And how could I put this into a language that would be appropriate for everybody, not just Christians? I would be challenged, but I'd just open my mouth and start blabbering. But I'd think of this structure, you know?
Well, wouldn't, so again, the key thought from before, what would be the reason for your prayer in that moment, right?
It would be to not lose faith in God.
Okay. So to not lose faith in God. I think that's really so absolutely critical. In that extreme circumstance, I can't even fathom what that was like, right? But in a moment of absolute, you can put the words better than I, John, would desperation be an accurate?
Well, these people are going to see innocent children, infants thrown into the air and Nazi soldiers using them for target practice. And they're going to see living infants thrown into a furnace. And they're going to think, where is God? And the thing is, to get through that, if you do survive and to still have faith in God, that faith is going to be so deep. It's going to be like Jesus in the agony in the garden. You know, still believing that this is for a good purpose, that God is in this, all of that. So I would just blabber, but I'd try to think of addressing God, attributing to God a love we can't understand and that we are going to find difficult to fathom. Our faith is the most important thing to us, our belief in God. We pray that we will not lose it. And the purpose that we will survive in some form, in the way God wants us to survive and to be with God. And we would close the prayer and just say that we join our hearts and our minds in this one purpose, and that is to keep our faith.
Right. I mean, something like that, John. I can't even imagine trying to compose a prayer in that extreme circumstances. So I agree with you to just open your heart and allow the sincere words of your heart to pour out in that moment. I also would say that it's really appropriate to allow true emotions to present themselves, right? I mean, in that circumstance, because I think prayer is ultimately communicating with God, speaking to God, whether we are in our words, with our hearts. And this is not something to be rigid. This is to be a tool to help us, so we're not just totally deer in the headlights if we find ourselves caught. But within this, to allow the emotions, the moment to be sincere, whether it's like this, where we're coming to grace before a dinner, or in a more emotionally laden circumstance. And I'm, you know, that doesn't even begin to speak to your circumstance, but this is kind of a model that can be used. And then, as we saw, can then be designed for a specific circumstance.
Well, I think that having a structure like this gives you strength. And you're just hanging in doubt, hanging in not knowing where to go. But if you have this structure, it's like something to hold on to. And it's very solid. Address, attribute, petition, purpose, closing. I mean, that focuses your mind. I think it's wonderful.
It can't. And again, that's what this author has proposed. This author has proposed. And it's something that's biblically based. It is something that some people find this type of thing to be useful. Other people would say, that doesn't really suit me. That's fine. But this is something, again, I think it's like having tools in the toolbox. Which ones would you feel are helpful to you? We also will find that certain prayers that we're familiar with can... when we look at them, we're going to say, oh, they're in this structure. Jesus used this structure a bit in teaching us. Are there other comments about this?
Louise, I want to come back to what I think was implied in John's example. If we are in a group and are asked to pray, and not everybody in that group is Christian. For example, if I were asked to pray at the Jewish Christian dialogue, do you have thoughts about whether or not it's appropriate or inappropriate to use the name of Jesus?
I have been asked to do that. I was asked to pray at a soccer banquet.
Right.
And there were many different faith traditions represented there. And in that type of a public forum, I have had different, I was specifically asked to, in that forum, represent a prayer that could be inclusive of everyone who was there. So that there's one line of thinking that if you pray in the name of God Almighty, that is inclusive of our shared traditions. And you can pray in that way. Other people will say, I am a Christian pastor. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you do not want that type of a prayer, then, you know, that is not, you know, that's not for myself. I prayed in the name of the shared tradition. I prayed in that particular soccer banquet for in the name of God, because I felt that we shared that tradition and that that was appropriate in that setting for that grace, because we could ask God's blessing to be for that food that night. And I felt like that was appropriate. Other thoughts?
Louise, I find this very helpful. I agree with John that it takes the pressure off by having the structure. Then you have a lot of freedom within the structure, and then you can express whatever emotions are appropriate to the circumstance. So to me, I would say this is an excellent tool.
Isn't there a hymn that uses the term God of all nations or something like that?
There is, yeah.
And there are so many attributes of the divine that can be used as addresses. Like one of my favorites is ever-living one. Things that are then not limited to our Christian tradition, but to our shared being with the divine.
Things like God of all creation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fall in that category?
Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a situation where the traditions are such that they don't even use the word God, you could say creator of all things.
Right.
Or the goodness in creation that has many names.
That's mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
Just a few more things I want to point out, and we can have some other broad discussion on this. We've shared some prayers. I want to talk a little bit about vigorous verbs. Quote, again, a good story well told marches along in sturdy verbs. So also does a good prayer. If you have ever, sometimes prayers, again, you know, all prayers have, I guess, all prayers are lifted up to God. We are not to evaluate prayers in that they come from the heart and they are lifted up to God. When we are in a group prayer, however, we are directing people, we are guiding people, we are helping to lead others. So there is a way in which if we are more direct with our words, using vigorous verbs, it can be clearer and crisp. So let me give you an example here with the Lord's Prayer. Jesus could have said, "Let us today find our daily bread." Instead, Jesus said, "Give us today our daily bread. We hope that we may be forgiven." But the petition is, "Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." You see the difference of the vigorous verbs and really, what are we asking of God? Be with us in this time of trial and lead us not into temptation. It's not that one's good here and one's bad. It's just that when we're leading people, the vigorous verbs have a bit more clarity and impact. May we escape evil. Deliver us from evil. And so again, we can just see a bit of clarity. Not that God's evaluating our prayers. God loves to hear all of our prayers. But when we are leading others, just gives us something, gives us something to think about. So if we were looking at this, you know, God of goodness and mercy, you are our help and strength in all times of our lives. We come to you with our concerns and petitions. Be with all who are distressed. Especially we pray for the sick, that they may serve you in the fullness of body. These are all statements that we will hear in our prayers. These are wonderful statements and prayers. These are all prayers that also could have sharpening with vigorous verbs also, if we would choose to do so. You know, if we would want to do that. On the other hand, these are lovely prayers in and of themselves. In 1 Thessalonians, we find, may the God, so God is addressed as God, of peace. So again, when we talk about the attribute, it's just of peace. It doesn't have to be a long peace. Peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do this. This is in the little different design of a blessing as well. So this is the, I'm going to stop the sharing now so that we can have an opportunity for if anyone has any questions that they would like to raise about this, about the prayer. I certainly have appreciated what you have mentioned so far about the, you know, having this design. And as I said, it is something that you have to kind of warm up to. It is not something that is maybe something you would want to use in private prayer, but I did, as I said, kind of use it recently in time of blessing before meals. I found that to be a nice setting just to kind of work with it and cultivate it and see how it can become an easy way to invoke God, to bring the group together for a common goal, if you will, or a common focus in the prayer, to ask God to be present with us, and to really think, what is the purpose of our prayer? Why are we asking God to be with us today? I hope that thinking of that and bringing people together in that way will be meaningful for the group and for individuals that you might be praying with as well. Are there any questions or comments that you'd like to share?
Well, I'd just like to say I'm very thankful for this. It's extremely helpful. My prayer life is more contemplative, and I feel like what happens in my prayer is more something I receive than what I give, like light and energy, things that I, you know, experience. But I think being able to pray with others is privilege, as you said, and I just think this has been excellent. This is what I hoped for.
Well, I'm glad that it was helpful for you, John.
I agree, Louise. Like John, my prayer is contemplative. And when I'm asked to pray in front of a group or for a group, this is not the form of prayer that I'm most comfortable with. And so having this structure is going to be very helpful. I really admire, for example, in our book group, we always begin with a prayer. And that is Sandy Conaway and I facilitate that group. It's Sandy's standing responsibility to open with the prayer because she does this beautifully. So I thank you that I don't have to totally burden her with that, maybe.
Thank you, Dana. For others, do you find this to be too restrictive? Do you find this to be awkward to work with?
I think Sarah suggested, and it makes sense to me, that this is sort of a starting framework. You can add things in and around if you want to expand it.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up, Bob, because in the particular setting that you're in, and in the particular, the people that you're with, you might add more thanks, like I mentioned before, confession. You might need to delve more into the particular circumstance. You absolutely should not feel locked in a way that, well, I have to use so many words, or I have to say it in this way. That's not really the intent at all. The intent is to have a framework, and then you can always expand as it seems appropriate.
Can I ask a question, Louise? I'm interested. You talked about writing prayers out, which I've done a few times. And I'm trying to reconcile that with sort of being spirit-led or in the moment. And those two seem like they're not always congruent. How do you handle that?
I think there's different thoughts on that. I think sometimes you can, I've had, before a meeting, people will bring prayers. I think they're beautiful. And I think there are written prayers that have been brought into meetings that are absolutely beautiful, spiritual, really touch people's hearts. I do both. I think just because someone writes a prayer does not mean that that prayer is not spirit-led. I think that I'm a person that likes to be prepared for things. And so you will find that I tend to have things written out a little more. And I think that if you know ahead of time that you are going to be in a situation, you can sit down and have it written out. I think that can still be delivered with sincerity. And you can also use that as a guide and be open if something comes to mind, if the situation warrants that you add to it. But then you have a little bit already, a little path to go on.
I would be most difficult if I was at a funeral or a situation with profound grief to bring comfort to the people assembled there. And I'd feel more comfortable to have a minister or somebody who's really trained to do that. I've seen Jim Gilchrist do such a wonderful job at that and just wondered, how can you do that?
I think being aware of the emotion in a time like that, it is very hard. I mean, I can say it's very hard. I don't do that without having any personal connection to that. That's very hard. I think that I really believe in the words that are said, you know, in the prayer, and I do try to be prepared going into those circumstances, anticipating what may be coming with that family, and, you know, having just being there with them, but really praying. And I pray personally before I go into those circumstances as well, with the family, for the family, asking to be led through that as well.
Is the purpose that they be comforted?
I think to be comforted, to have, you know, to feel God's presence with them at that time. Oftentimes that is where we are. If it's appropriate to also to hear the promises of the life everlasting, I think that also, I think those are also promises to be heard. And I think our hope is found in that as well. That, you know, death has been overcome. But I think, you know, we have to be sensitive to where we are at that moment. So, all right, well, thank you all. I think I need to hop off here and then go to worship. But thank you all very much for being a part of the seminar today. If you have other questions, I would be happy to speak with you or meet with you or talk with you at any time about this.
Thank you.
Thank you.